Captured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I identify as a transgender woman.
I identify as a straight transgender female.
There is no such thing as transgender. You're either XX or XY.
But honestly, I don't really identify as human.
I'm tired of being humanized for the comfort of other people.
God made man male and female. That is determined genetically. That is physiology. That is science. That is reality.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The question is not, did it strike a nerve, but why did it strike a nerve? This is Wretched Radio, a New York Times Christianity Today, and pretty much anybody who was downright gleeful to report a fellow who had sold 15 million Christian books, been in ministry for decades, married for almost 50 years, and decided, I think I need to have an 8-year affair with another woman. Hey, correction. Did I say affair? Somebody sent an email after we talked about the Philip Yancey story here on Wretched Radio and said, not an affair. It sanitizes it. He committed adultery. Thank you for that correction. We talked about it a bit to see what lessons we might learn. Did a video on the subject about why these things happen to older men. And this is noteworthy. I haven't seen it for a bit, but I think 30,000 views on a video that was addressed to men over the age of 50 to identify why those types of tumbles take place and what you can do to shore it up and finish well. It clearly struck a nerve. The question is why? Why? Well, I'm going to look on the bright side because, well, I'm just a natural born optimist. I think it's because a lot of Christian men, they don't want to tumble. And that's a good thing, isn't it? I think there could have just been some people that were looking. It's like, ooh, is this going to be gossipy? I hope it wasn't. But I wonder also if it's because we're not addressing this subject enough from the pulpit or in our churches. I checked out publishing. I think I found one book about finishing well that addresses men who are over 50, who it's not like it's like a totally different life experience, but it is a different life experience than when you're 20. Things change. I mean, body changes, your thinking, your processing, your emotions, the dynamic of your marriage changes, your relationship with your kids. It's different. And it's pretty clear a lot of guys get thrown into a tailspin and they go looking for what they think is love in all the wrong places. I think we do well to ask ourselves the question, if this YouTube video is any sort of objective evidence that there is a great deal of interest in wanting to know, how do I not become like that fellow who fell? I don't want that. I don't want my life to end in shame and in tragedy. Oh, it's a sad story. I wonder if we're not talking about it enough. I think we have a tendency to talk to particular people groups inside of the church. I think maybe pastors have a proclivity. And maybe just like, oh, this hurts. Jimmy said last week, I think it was you who said this, Jimmy, that young guys, they never want to approach older guys right to correct them. I wonder if young pastors are afraid of doing that, of talking to the older men in the congregation. Hey, I just thought of a Bible verse. Didn't Paul talk about this with Titus? And he actually broke up the church into demographics of age. Older men, younger men. Maybe Paul knew something we didn't. I think that's a truism that works across the board. That there are older men need addressing. So do younger men. Not either or. Both need addressing. And I wonder if we're not addressing it enough. I wonder if we're not talking about those life changes. Peter Heck wrote an opinion piece for Not the Bee. And at first I was like, where are you going with this, Peter? But then I went, ooh, think the dude has a point here. His focus in an article titled, What Can We Learn from the Tragic Error of Philip Yancey? He focuses on what love is. What is love? What is love? I know our former president said love is love, but what is it? What is that? When what's the best type of love? Now, we know from the Greek language, there are different types of love. There can be familial. There can be friend love. There's marital. There's for children. There's a romantic love. So there's different shades of love. There are different kinds of love. But in a marriage, when we just say, do you love your wife? Do you love your husband? What type of love are we talking about? Because Peter's musing is that too many men grow older and they start to listen to the world's definition of love, which is fun, baby. You still got it, daddy-o. Hey, 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 you're still a catch. Wouldn't this be exciting? This would be fresh. That ain't love. It's not love. Love, according to the world, is very sexy. Not according to the Bible. The Bible points us toward steady, committed, intimate, not necessarily physically, but inside of each other's souls. So woven together that the two are really one flesh. That's love, and that's more profound, and that's so much better. And a man who'd been married for 47 years should have known that. I can't speak for this author. But let's just try to apply it to ourselves. Are we perhaps taking the bait of the world to buy their definition of love, as opposed to what love is you go home every day after work, you show up, you're there in the morning, you're with your spouse during the day as much as you can be. You are doing the things of life together still, committed, paying bills together, going to church together, making a meal together, watching your favorite Netflix, whatever, together. Now, that doesn't look very, very loving according to the world standard, but the Bible says, oh yeah, now you're talking love. Now you're talking love. And I find this to be true of all things that God says we should do. It's either our flesh or the world that says, no, that's not fun. All right. I'm not sure God is big into fun. He's not opposed to it. You can have fun. But if you noticed, the fruit of the Spirit doesn't include fun. Love, joy, peace, patience, fun. No, it's not there. What is in that list of fruit? Fruits. Can I say that without getting tagged? Fruits. What are those things that are the rich things? Well, I mean, okay. It's some sort of fling, some sort of tryst, fleeting, dangerous, destructive. Oh, but it's fun. Oh, and it was exciting for a moment. Versus having a steadied heart all the time. Now, I know the one doesn't look as exciting as the other. The latter seems downright dull compared to the former, but not according to the Bible. Those are the rich things. Those are the sweet things. Those are the big things. And if you're young, you would do well to wrestle internally, to reorder your priorities, to recognize, okay, if God said do these things, they must be better things. They must be, because who knows better than the God who created us, the God who is high and holy and lofty and sovereign and righteous and just and good and merciful and loving. Who knows best about what would be best for me? Your God. Trust him. Seek those things. Seek his kingdom. Seek his righteousness. Seek his lifestyle. And I'm telling you, you'll be happier. That's different than fun. And you're going to be settled. And you're going to have shalom, where it's like, okay, not everything in life is like lined up every single day. The books, you know, they don't always adjust correctly at the end of the day, but I'm settled. What would you pay to be settled all the time? Seriously, what would you pay right now if I said, I can give you a pill that will ensure you never worry about anything again? What would that prescription be worth to you? I suspect a lot, especially if you lean toward being more predisposed to being anxious about things. I'll bet you'd go, oh, okay, I'm interested. Does insurance cover it? Even so, I'm kind of interested in what this thing would would cause me because I'd love to have peace all the time. Seek those things. Peter Heck, writing in his article, sin always leaves wreckage behind. Despite the promises, what is left in its wake is nothing but a sorry array of victim shame, loss, regret, and consequence. He says, real love, as scripture describes it, is not built on infatuation. It had to have been what older men seek. Ah, that's exciting. I'm not satisfied in the love of my spouse of 50 years. No, I need the excitement. Ah, no, you don't. It's the lesser thing. From Heck. It's not built on infatuation, nor is it sustained by chemistry. It doesn't survive by shared hobbies, physical attraction, or emotional excitement. Those things may occupy love in its early stages, but they are not love's foundation. So what is? God teaches us love is something that is forged over time, shaped by covenant, tested by suffering, refined by forgiveness, strengthened by endurance. And then you build love that is so much more profound, that is so much richer, so much more stabilizing, that you'll never seek any lesser love. Perhaps that's a lesson from this current tragedy. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what I love about coffee? It's not just the first sip in the morning, though. It's pretty great. It's that you can count on it. Every morning, it's there, ready to wake you up and get your day started. And that's exactly what we've built with the Fortis Plus app. It's your daily dose of biblical truth, ready when you are, completely free. Look, you're already reaching for your phone first thing in the morning anyway. Why not make it count? Download Fortis Plus right now and start your day with truth instead of trash. It's free, it's biblical, and it's exactly what you need to stand strong in this brave new world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org.
The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes. And there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org. Every night at 8 o'clock, the battle begins. Who gets the remote? What are we watching? How many cooking shows is too many cooking shows? Well, I've got news that'll bring peace to your living room. Fortis Plus just landed on your TV. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, even that smart TV you bought last year, and you still can't program. No subscription, no credit card. Download Fortis Plus on your TV right now. Finally, something the whole family can agree on. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. We thanked them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Attributes of God. Can a loving God be wrathful,
If God loves righteousness, loves people, and wants what is best for his creation, he must hate what runs contrary to his will. God must always respond to sin with wrath, and his wrath must be satisfied. It is either satisfied on the cross, or each person will bear God's wrath eternally in hell.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is going to hurt Jimmy more than it's going to hurt me. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy,
yeah.
This is going to pain you to hear, but I'm normal.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't expect guffawing. I'm normal, at least according to one post on the YouTube video that we made about why men over the age of 50 take some sort of spiritual or moral header. Because on the radio program, when we were talking about this famous evangelical who took a I'm telling you, Hindenburg end of his life, just disaster, having an affair for 8 years. I think I commented kind of briefly, I don't know how you can even like do that and keep everything straight. But besides, it's like, how do you even like sneak away? Because I'm with my wife like all the time, like a lot. And I said, you know, maybe that's not normal. And somebody posted on the YouTube machine, actually, that's like one of the best things you can do to keep your marriage safe.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like I'm normal, Jimmy.
How are you
swallowing that pill, no, pally boy?
I can buy that one.
I
like hanging out with my wife.
You spend time with that woman and you go, oh, kind of lost interest. You don't know what love is. You're missing the boat. Really? Really, at your age, you just want to feel like, oh, I'm a sexy guy. No, you're 70. You should know better. Love is more profound. It's more rich. It's deeper. You've had babies together. You've changed diapers together. You've purchased a home together. You've lost money together. You perhaps experienced a nice meal or vacation together. And it's the years and it's all the bits in between. Just the being there. Something grows. Something happens. And you get knit together the way that you're supposed to in a one flesh union. And so one of the comments that people left was, cultivate that. And if it's off track, get it back on track. Even if it doesn't feel like the most exciting thing in the world, it is the best thing in the world because that is God's prescription for what love is. Enduring, committed, faithful, integrated. That is like, now we're talking stuff. That's the stuff. Cultivate that relationship. If you don't, look out, dude or dudette. You're headed toward trouble. Receive some emails on the subject also. You mentioned that you and your wife, here it is right here, Jimmy. This is the email. You mentioned you and your wife are joined at the hip in an excessive way, but that's exactly why it's not likely to happen to someone like you. I think it is less often caused by lack of accountability to a church and more often due to a lack of proper relationship with the wife. I mean that both emotionally and sexually. If you work on your relationship together, there's not much room for anyone else. Indeed. Now, I don't know where his church, like the spectrum of relationship with wife and church. I say both. You really do need both. You need a place where people are like, bro, when you guys first started coming to church, maybe this is going to sound kind of trite. I was so taken by this. You guys, you held hands when you came in the parking lot. I've noticed you don't do that anymore. Mind like observing weirdness or one-off stuff? How you doing? That's, we need that. We need one another. Oh, this was from Walt correcting my use of the word affair. He said, it doesn't carry the sting of the word adultery. Fair enough point, dude. Fair enough point. And then somebody sent me a link. What does the Bible say about finishing well? It had 14 pages of Bible verses. In other words, if you're not working on finishing well, you're probably, you might not take a tumble like the one that we saw last week, but it's not going to be a strong, you're not going to break through the tape. Not going to set any records. We want to enter eternity, into our glorious inheritance. We want to enter strong and finishing well. Isn't that what Paul talked about repeatedly? And I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. I made it. And how did he describe it? It was a fight. It's a fight to get to the finish. It's a race. And people, well, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. I think it's both. I think it's both. Yeah, there's times, man, you got to put the pedal down and you got to really focus on stuff. Because if you're not shoring it up, if you're letting it slip, if you're getting lazy and sloppy, look out. You are going to careen. You're going to hit the rocks. It's a fight. It's a race. I was about Acts 20. I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. That's what's at stake here. You get to testify about the grace of God as you get to the finish line. You get to right up until the end, in perhaps the most powerful way in your life, exhibit the grace of God on your deathbed. Are you perhaps at the age where life has kind of lost its excitement because you kind of seen it, been there, done that, got the trophy, took the snap, and yeah, nothing exciting happening. You get to die and you get to be a testimony to the grace of God, and you will either do it well or not. And that is something you've never done before. I know that sounds silly, but it's like, there's just nothing new in life. You're going to get to die. You're going to get to leave this current mortal coil and be with your Savior. And as you do, the people who are at your deathbed, the people who might be tending to you, watching you, prescribing for you, you can testify to the grace of God. Be strong before you get into your deathbed so you can finish well. Hebrews 12:1. Since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You've seen those videos where somebody's like, they were running the marathon. They come into the arena. They've got a lap to go, and all of a sudden they get wobbly, and then everybody starts passing them. Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy. Train now. 1 Corinthians 9. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I find myself disqualified. I got to tell you, that is one of the scariest verses in the Bible. You've been preaching the gospel, maybe your entire life, at least your entire adult life, and you're disqualified because it is revealed that you weren't actually in the race at all? Yeah. That's scary business. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. 2 John 1:8, watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. How many rewards do you want in heaven? Finishing strong, I think we'll get you one because you're a testimony. And that is why this horrible trend, especially in Canada, but it's happening more in America, that we end people's lives so early because it's hard. I get it. And it's easy for me to say that at the moment I'm not experiencing any aches or pains. I'm just standing here. I'm fine. I get it. This ongoing pain. Oh, hard. But that also magnifies what people see in you as you suffer to the end. Because you know that you are making your way to the finish line and there's going to be a prize for you. And just like the rest of the message in 1 Peter, you're looking at your salvation, you're grounded in your faith, so glorious a salvation that you're growing in sanctification for what? And so you can proclaim the excellencies of God. That's why we're here. And you can do that on your deathbed. Train now. Don't don't do spiritually what we tend to do physically when you get older. He used to be so much more athletic. You would jump, if you would see something across, okay, if you got OCD, you'll appreciate this. You're sitting in a chair, you look across the room, there's a picture on the wall two rooms over that's crooked. What did you used to do? Jump up and move it and get it lined up, otherwise you go bonkers. Now you sit there and go, I'll get it when I get up and maybe remember when I walk by to fix it. Don't do that spiritually. Let us not grow weary of doing good, Galatians 6:9. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. For which of you desiring to build a tower, asked Jesus, does not first sit down and count the cost? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and wasn't able to finish. Sir, what do you currently need to do to not be that man? And until tomorrow, go serve your king.